Hello and welcome to another episode of the Saxo Market Call podcast. As always, I am your host. My name is Søren Otto. And since this is the week's thematic episode, I am joined by our head of fixed income strategy, Althea Spinozzi. Hi, Althea. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Søren. It's always good to be here with you.
It's always a pleasure. And it's kind of a sort of a new format we're trying out today, or at least it's a We're going to take up a topic that's very technical. So, and you promised me you would keep it simple but technical. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I hope so. But, well, we'll see.
If anyone can do it, it is definitely you. What we're going to talk about is abbreviated the QRA. It's the quarterly refunding announcement from the U.S. Treasury, which is something that came out in two parts this week. From what I hear from you is that it, at least this time around, will be more impactful or have the potential to be more impactful for both bonds and stocks or the market in general than usual. And obviously this is coming out while we wait for the FOMC meeting later today. We're recording Wednesday, but today we're going to focus on this QRA. And could you just let us in on what does it mean, the like on a very high level, the quarterly refunding announcement? What is it even?
Well, the quarterly refunding announcement is an event that is organized by the U.S. Treasury, where it gives indications of what are its borrowing needs. So the first part, as you said, that we got already on Monday, told us that the U.S. Treasury has to issue, to raise more debt than it anticipated in January. And the second part that we got instead today is telling us how the U.S. Treasury is planning to raise those funds. So basically it's telling us if it's going to use T-bills, notes, so U.S. Treasuries with a maturity up to 7 years, or bonds that are from 10 years onwards. And why is this important? Well, normally it has never really been much market moving historically. And the reason is that the U.S. deficit was much lower than it is today. Since the COVID pandemic, because the U.S. Treasury had to take on massive deficits, this has become more important and market moving, because investors start to worry about the sustainability of the fiscal deficit. And in the past couple of quarters, what we have seen is that it has moved bond markets in a very particular way, affecting the term premium. But I'm going to get back to that point mm-hmm. later. I just wanted to talk about what are the key aspects in mm-hmm. the quarterly of the quarterly refunding announcement, and what are the key topics that it covers. So as we said, is going the QRA is telling us what are the U.S. Treasury funding needs and issuance plans. But also there is a part where basically the U.S. Treasury talks about market conditions. So basically they say, we see interest rate at this level for, a certain period of time. We see that the liquidity in financial systems is also good or bad, and that is influencing our decision. And also what is very interesting is that there is this committee called TBAC, which is the Treasury Borrowing Advisory Committee, which is basically a group of markets professionals coming from investment banks or asset managers that are giving some sort of background and suggestion to the U.S. Treasury. Like, given these market conditions, we suggest that it might be better to issue more ultra-long bonds or short-term bonds or T-bills, mm-hmm. right? And that is very important because in the past, no, the U.S. Treasury doesn't have to follow this advice, but it gives an indication of what the U.S. Treasury is thinking about. And often the U.S. Treasury follows that recommendation.
All right. So just to clear up or just to summarize a little bit, the QRA is the U.S. Treasury trying to say this is the money we need to pay our deficits and this is how we're going to get it. And then they go into some market participants to ask them, how do you believe we can get it? And then they can obviously decide to follow that, as you say, or they can decide to ignore it. But could you just talk a little bit more about why it is relevant now? You said that it is due to the idea that the deficit has grown so much and maybe the trust in the U.S. budget as a whole is decreasing, which is what makes it market moving at the moment.
Yes, Soren. So before I just mentioned a very powerful word in bond markets, which is the term premium. Mm-hmm. What a term premium is just the extra premium that bond holders, U.S. Treasury holders, are demanding to hold U.S. Treasuries. And since after the global financial crisis until as of recently, that term premium has been well below zero. So what we saw is that last year, around the third and the fourth quarter, the U.S. Treasury started to increase a coupon size issuance. And what happened is that term premium rose from below 0 basis points to up to 40 basis points. On the last quarter, at the beginning of the last quarter of 2024, the U.S. Treasury, at that quarterly refunding announcement, announced that it was issuing more T-bills and less coupon treasuries. So what happened then? It happened that the term premium fell from 40 basis points back again below zero. And that's substantial because basically it means that that term premium might have risen just because investors were asking for a better premium in order to hold duration. Mm-hmm. Then in January, we had another QRA. And that QRA told us that coupon issuance would have increased for the first quarter of 2024 and probably also for the second quarter of 2024. And what happened since January until today, the term premium from below 0 basis points rose to 20 basis points. Today, we discovered from the issuance plans of the U.S. Treasury that the U.S. Treasury is not looking to increase coupon size further. That sentence is quite misleading mm-hmm. because what's happening is that the U.S. Treasury is not increasing coupon auction sizes compared to the last couple of auctions. But then if we have to take into account the month of January and February, we see that overall the Treasury is increasing coupon issuance from a little bit over $1 trillion in a quarter mm-hmm. to a little bit over $1.1 trillion, and I'm talking about gross terms. Obviously, that kind of change has consequences for the bond market, even if it means a status quo from now until the end of the year, because we are going to see very elevated auction size for coupon issuance from now until the end of the year. for some tenors, which is, I think, the 2 years, the 5 years, and the 10 years, the level that the issuance level is the record high. So it means that the U.S. Treasury will continue to put pressure on long duration, and the outcome from that means higher term premium. So higher long-term yields, and we know that the economy functions and fund itself on long-term rates, and that might break something.
And when you say that it might break something, obviously this year has been a lot of talk about interest rate cuts and also quantitative tightening from the Federal Reserve in the U.S., and we've seen this movement towards less and less expected rate cuts. Does this QRA play into any of the hands in terms of interest rates or quantitative tightening and sort of the wind down of that?
Yes, that's the second part of the equation. Because you see, we had the Federal Reserve engaging in quantitative tightening since 2022. But quantitative tightening has not been really palpable yet in bond markets, just because the U.S. Treasury was issuing, was concentrating issuance in T-bills. So it was not really affecting the longer part of the yield curve. Well, things are going to change from today, because if we have a record high a substantial issuance in duration from the U.S. Treasury, and we couple it with an unchanged quantitative tightening, well, that means that there is further pressure applied on the longer part of the yield curve. So what does that mean for the Federal Reserve? It might mean that if liquidity is drained too fast in the system, policymakers might want to decrease and slow down quantitative tightening. And that's something that they already been speaking about since January until today, but the conversation was focusing more on T-bills. And the reason for that is that large issuance of T-bills is draining the RRP facility. So
the QRA, the reverse repo facility.
Yes, exactly. So the QRA, in this case, when we look at the connected to the quantitative tightening side of things, is a little bit of a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Because obviously quantitative tightening, the way that it works is that the U.S. Treasury is letting 90 billion U.S. Treasury running off every month from its balance sheet. The way that they do it is that coupon bonds, so longer durations, are going to run off first and T-bills later. Why they do that? Because they don't want to put so much pressure on the longer part of the yield curve. And also, they want to increase that T-bill percentage in their mm-hmm. balance sheet. So they don't want really to run it off. But something is happening. And from June, so like we're talking next month, if the QT level remains unchanged, then from June this year up to June next year, the U.S. Treasury will unwind a little bit less than 200 billion T-bills from its balance sheet. And what does that mean? It means that it will start to drain faster the reverse repo facility. And we know that the Federal Reserve is concerned about a level of ample scarce reserves, and it wants to go there slowly. One way to do that is to slow down QT so that reserves are drained slower, and they're going to hit that level as well. But sorry, I just want to add something. This is the power of the QRA. Mm-hmm. That today We also know that, coupon issuance is going to remain unchanged. This is the message from the U.S. Treasury. So in order to finance the deficit, the U.S. Treasury has to increase issuance of T-bills. Mm-hmm. But right now, in net terms, that the T-bills issuance is negative. So if net T-bills issuance is negative, what is basically happening is that all those individuals and institutions that are holding T-bills that are coming up to maturity, normally what do they do? They would want to buy other T-bills, right? Mm-hmm. But if the U.S. Treasury doesn't sell enough, what do they do with that? Well, they will put it in the reverse repo facility. So the reverse repo facility will go up and it will delay QT tapering.
All right, that that makes a lot of sense, although it is it is very complex stuff. Now, you touched a little bit upon how this may affect QT relative to a year ahead. But are there any considerations in terms of the next quarter, like until we see the next QRA? What's your expectations related to that?
So my expectations for the next quarters is for the long part of the yield curve to remain under pressure. The only way that we are going to see markets absorbing the amount of coupon issuance and duration that is going to come this quarter and the next quarter is if there is a change in macroeconomic backdrop that is compelling for longer duration. Until that doesn't change, it doesn't happen, it's more likely that we are going to see more tails at U.S. Treasury auctions. And for those that don't know what a tail is just when a U.S. Treasury auction prices with a higher yield than the yield at which was just before the auction started. And normally that brings some volatility. When there is a bad auction, where we see weak bidding metrics, a tail, that normally ignites more selling in the secondary markets and causes yields to break certain levels and to bring them elevated. So I think that for the next quarter, we have to be really careful of what's happening in U.S. Treasury auctions. We want to know what is the appetite. Are Japanese investors coming back now that, for example, the yen is weak and the appeal of U.S. Treasuries starts to change, because we started the year where a 10-year U.S. Treasury hedged against the Japanese yen was paying around minus 2%, a little bit more, but, you know, like minus 1.8%. And now the same security is paying minus 0.8%. So there is an improvement there. So are we seeing these foreign investors coming back? Maybe that weakness doesn't come from Japanese investors. It comes from Chinese investors that don't want to buy U.S. treasuries. So this is everything I'm going to look at. And I'm going to monitor term premium because it's telling a lot of market sentiment. And you know, like today we have a FOMC meeting, and my take for whoever read my FOMC preview is that we are going to have a hawkish Fed. And that is just because I see the inflation premium of a 10-year bonds rising to above 50%, to a level that we have seen only 8 times since 1980 until today. So what does that mean? It means that investors are demanding for a higher premium because they are concerned about inflationary pressure. And that requires the Federal Reserve to solve that. If that is not solved, then term premiums are going to rise. Yield will continue to rise until something breaks.
All right, Charu. Obviously, if you sit out there as a trader or investor, whether you're experienced or not in bonds, one thing to do to make sure that your portfolio is situated along the lines of how this query is going to move the markets is, of course, to follow you and read what you put up both on X, but also on our platforms and our website. But what would your advice be to investors out there, Althea, in terms of like is there anything they need to do in relation to this? Either look up, review the portfolio, any specific products that you should pay attention to, stay away from? What's your take?
Well, you should. I think that at this moment of time, investors should really pick the risk they want to get in their portfolio. And the two main risks that you should think about is credit risk and inflation risk. Duration risk. So if we see a copy and paste of what we have seen in 2023, well, it's very wise to stay off from duration risk until we are not certain that inflation is on a sustainable path towards 2%. And credit risk, well, so far it has played quite well because you get a pickup over US treasuries. And when we look at the lower rated corporate bonds, they have provided a safe haven because they've been the only securities that they have been creating a buffer against inflation for the past couple of years. But the question is that if we continue to see yields rising, we are going to hit a wall of refinancing, and that's going to come for the junk bond space at the beginning of 2025. And if yields are too high for these companies to refinance their debt, well, then we are going to start to see defaults and credit spreads widening. And that's going to be bad for that kind of risk, obviously.
All right, Althea. I think we'll leave it at that unless you have any final remarks. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming and making us all wiser on a very interesting but also complex topic. And to all of you out there, on behalf of Althea Spinozzi, the Saxo Market Call podcast, everybody here at Saxo, my name is Søren Otto. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back anytime soon. But until then, happy trading.